Welcome to this episode of The Cinema Guys, where we will give you our thoughts on movies, trailers, and other such things. This week is a special DC episode, where we will give you our thoughts not only on The Suicide Squad, which we recently went to see, but we will also give you our thoughts on the DC expanded movie universe thus far. I'm Brad, and with me is my co-host, Justin.
How's it going? So, before we get started, I went ahead and made a list of the entire DC Extended Universe because I wanted to see, okay, without everything that's happened lately and people are so upset because they're not doing well, and I, being a giant DC fan, I kind of hate Marvel. I'm mad that their movies are so good, but DC's aren't. So I made a list, and I was like, okay, I want to see what all is there. So, of course, you got the old Adam West Batman. You got the Tim Burton Batmans, and then the Arnold, and then the George Clooney, all those, and obviously the Christopher Nolan Batman. So all the Batmans are there. Everyone likes the Christopher Nolan Batmans. Oh, of course. I actually don't like them as much as everyone else does. Batman Begins is really, really good. The other ones I could give or take. Superman 1 through 4, which Superman 2 is in my top superhero movies of all time. I love Superman 2. I think it's amazing. Then, of course, you have Superman Returns, which did not do well. Man of Steel, I think Man of Steel was pretty well received.
It was very mixed, kind of like these recent ones.
I'm going to talk about Man of Steel a little bit later, though. Then you got Batman vs. Superman. You got Swamp Thing 1 and 2. Supergirl, which I remember was awesome when I was a little kid. Catwoman, Steel, which I don't think that's a real movie. Constantine with Keanu Reeves.
I love that movie.
V for Vendetta, which is fantastic. The Watchmen is actually in my top movies of all time. Top 10 it made, The Watchmen, because I love The Watchmen. The Losers, which was a fantastic movie. Have you seen it?
I have. I thought it was pretty good.
I loved it. Christopher Evans is in it.
It was very underrated.
Yeah.
Kind of flew under the radar.
Jonah Hex, which I didn't love, but I didn't read the comic books. The Green Lantern movie was so bad.
The beginning of that movie was so good when they were off-world, and then it just fell apart.
It was so bad. And then, of course, Suicide Squad, and then we have coming up Justice League, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Green Lantern reboot, The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam. Shazam, very underrated DC character. Amazing. Anyways, all that, DC has done some really, really good things, even with Zack Snyder. Really good things. Watchmen, still amazing. 300's amazing. It's not DC, technically.
No, I think it was Dark Horse.
Yeah, it's amazing. I loved 300. So anyways, DC's done good things. We shouldn't throw it all under the bus or throw the out with bath.
I think we're going to focus on what they're calling the DC Expanded Universe, which is from Man of Steel on.
Now, but it does not include television. Correct?
It does not. They're keeping theirs separate, unlike Marvel.
Got it.
Which, their television has been pretty solid so far.
So I guess before we get into any of that, though, we have a little segment that we call Trailer Trash, where we give you some thought on some trailers we've seen. To keep with our theme this week, the first trailer we should do is Wonder Woman.
With Gal Gadot and Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. He's doing everything, man.
Oh, I know. And this movie, I when I first saw the trailer, she was one of my favorite parts of Batman v Superman, which we will talk about here in just a little bit. But I think she's going to be a great Wonder Woman.
I absolutely agree that she was the best part of Batman vs. Superman. I'm not as excited about this movie because I feel like, for the first time, I understand what it's like to be a child who has a deadbeat father, and their father keeps promising, hey, we're going to go to the baseball game this week, son, and you get excited and you get let down every weekend. Because so far, I get super pumped. I mean, super pumped about these movies. I was so pumped about Suicide Squad. For a while, Batman vs. Superman wasn't what I wanted it to be. It was just okay. Man of Steel was just okay. And then right before Suicide Squad, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awesome. And we'll talk about what I felt about that later. And so again, I saw Wonder Woman trailer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so good. I feel like I'm going to be let
down. I think every trailer thus far, it's always been, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one. DC is going to knock this one out of the park. And they get so close.
I love the lasso of truth being thrown in there. I love that they didn't abandon everything. However, did you know, I actually didn't know this, because the newest versions in the comic book of Wonder Woman have been very, she's been way tougher. She's been this, like, Amazonian Wonder Woman that we see in this movie with the shield and the sword. But she's pretty tough. I mean, if you're watching the movie, she's getting, like, taking tank missiles to the chest and stuff. So I actually looked up what Wonder Woman's weakness is. You know, Superman has magic, Superman has kryptonite. And I was like, well, I know she's not as strong as Superman. But I didn't know this. So according to DC's Wikipedia, is that she can be bound by a man if her gauntlets touch each other. So that's her weakness. So if her gaunt, only by a man is what it said. Now people were like, wait a minute, this is ridiculous, a man. And they've obviously changed that. Yeah.
So to say, Batman versus Superman, she hits them together.
Right. So if her gauntlets touch, she is bound. Or she can be pierced by sharp objects. So my thing is, I don't think they're bringing that lore into the movie, because when she got smacked into the mountains, I'm sure there was something sharp in there.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm interested in finding out how they're going to say, okay, what is her weakness here? Is it, so far it seems like her weakness is men, like Chris Pine, pining after him.
I don't know. Once again, it's one of those, it's like, this could be the movie. This is the movie that they need. But I'm glad they're finally making a Wonder Woman movie. DC is definitely getting in to be the first one, like, look, we're strong, the female character movie. Right,
female character. No, I'm excited to see it, and based on the trailer, I'm like, oh, yes. But I'm just tired of saying, this one, okay, no, this one, no, no, this one's going to be amazing. I'm just tired of saying that.
Next up, it's a trailer we haven't seen in the theater, but has been officially released online, and it was shown at Comic-Con. It's the teaser trailer for the Justice League.
And freaking gosh, this one is going to be amazing. I'm just going to say that one right now. This one really is going
to
be amazing.
After you just said I'm trying to get myself excited.
I know, despite what I just said. Because the Flash looks good in this one. Because so far when we've seen the Flash in Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad, he's looked weird to me, but in this one, you're actually seeing him.
Yeah.
And I like the Flash. I like sort of the loner Flash. It's kind of cool. I love drunk Aquaman. I think that's awesome. And I don't care, and we'll talk about this again in a second, I love Ben Affleck's Batman. I just do, so.
It's one of those, like, I think this trailer, they released it to show, hey, look, we're trying to lighten it up a little bit, because they threw a little humor into it. You got Barry Allen, you know, the Flash, he's always kind of a little wisecracker a little bit, and throwing a little of that humor in there to be like, look, we're not going to be just dark and brooding all the time. Like, hopefully they can lighten it up. I mean, that's been their biggest knock thus far. All right, so moving on. As you all know, the DC expanded movie universe kicked off in 2013 with Man of Steel, starring Henry Cavill as Superman, and directed by Zack Snyder, who is pretty much what directed two of the three that have been released thus far.
Definitely has been running the DC extended universe.
And he's doing Justice League, so
that's another one.
Yes, he's doing Justice League.
I did not know that. Ugh.
Does that bring your expectations down just a little bit?
He did so good with Watchmen, though. He did so good with the Watchmen.
Well, we're give you just some of my thoughts of, you know, this is the one that kind of kicked it off, kind of started Superman over. I think Henry Cavill has that look. He looks like Superman.
I do like his Superman.
In the movie, I love the beginning on Krypton.
Oh,
the
whole I could have watched
flying,
the whole movie
the destruction
of Krypton.
And
the I just actually rewatched this yesterday, Man of Steel, and they, especially the first half of that movie, with not just with Krypton, with him like on the crabbing fishing boat, trying to figure out who he is, and he ends up being Lois Lane's camera dude because he wants to check out this, you know, spaceship anomaly. I'm in. I'm like, yeah, this is good, and I like him. I like a darker world. DC's always been a little lighter, and I like this sort of darker Superman.
I love the beginning, but I really enjoyed the movie. I do love that they're not just trying to copy Marvel.
Right.
Where they're just like, okay, yeah. Marvel's got this. They have hit after hit after hit, and they kind of have this formula down. We're going to kind of take it another direction. So ultimately, I like where DC is going, where it's not just Marvel. And with Man of Steel, some of the biggest knocks that this movie got was the amount of destruction with, you know, basically destroying Metropolis.
It was epic. Hold on, but was it more destruction than what happened in the Avengers when, like, the Kroll or whoever it was invaded from the sky?
No, not really. I don't think it was.
I remember this one was extreme, as we will see as you watch Batman vs. Superman. It's pretty extreme.
Well, in Batman vs. Superman, they kind of make it a point to be like, oh, that's an empty area, or a good thing they're on this island type of thing. Like, there's no people there.
Right. And then, of course, the big deal was the killing of Zod.
Yes.
So,
spoiler alert.
If
you haven't seen it, Zod dies.
But Superman doesn't kill. So this is a big deal if you're a comic book reader, especially in the last 15 years. They've really, because, you know, the biggest knock on Superman is, oh, well, they just made someone who's all-powerful, and which I'm like, if you're going to make a hero, that's the one you want. I don't want Spider-Man who breaks his ribs every time he gets punched in the, you know, whatever. So I like Superman. I love Superman. But the thing that I like that they've done with him is they've said, okay, you know what? Superman is good. Yes. There's a scene in one of the final crises where Batman's like, we need to make a decision. And he hands the decision to Superman because he goes, he's the only one who can make a good decision because Superman is good. And in the end of this, he does kill General Zod, publicly. Like, yeah, everyone knows.
I think it was kind of like his turning point in that, to be like...
Right. And so then we get to the age-old question, the Zero Dark Thirty question. A man like Zod, should he not have been killed? He was actually going for the destruction of the entire human race. So, do you kill that? Do you torture people to get answers if you're America? I don't know. I just know that it
was... I don't think there's any way they could, really. They didn't know about the kryptonite before then. But ultimately, I enjoyed it.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Red Tree Art Gallery and Coffee Shop.
Let me tell you, I love coffee. I don't want Starbucks. I don't want some watery swill that old lady Ethel made from church on Sunday. I want good coffee. I want a place to work. I want Wi-Fi. I want good customer service, not the, hey, my manager told me to say hi to people, nice, but I want real, genuine customer service. I want good food, good local food, and I want a nice community space to hang out. I know I want a lot, I get it. Well, guess what, I found the place. I found where you need to be. It's Red Tree Art Gallery and Coffee Shop, 3210 Madison Road in Oakley, Cincinnati. Come. Use the word cinema guys for a free small drip coffee. Let them know we sent you. Enjoy the place. I know you will. Special guest today, fellow cinema guy, Michael Coates.
Hello.
He will be joining us and giving some of his thoughts, starting with Batman, this spring's Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Hey, real quick, top three Zack Snyder films of all time. Go.
Number one, I'm going to go with Dawn of the Dead remake.
What? I didn't even see it.
That is, it's an amazing remake of a classic film.
Is that with Colin Farrell?
No, it's got the dad from Modern Family. And
Ving Rhames.
Yeah, and it's not Ving Heather Rhames. Graham, but there's another blonde female as the lead that I can't remember her name. But it's based off a James Gunn script.
Yeah.
That he rewrote from the original George Romero draft.
But you like horror films a lot, too.
I do like horror films.
Both of you guys do. I only got Man Out and I don't watch them.
And I mean, Dawn of the Dead's probably in my top 10 movies of all time, the original.
Wow.
Great satire on 70s culture of the mall, kind of people going to conglomerates and just kind of unifying and congealing as one mass.
Huh.
And
I should see it.
Yeah, I actually didn't know it was
Zack Snyder. It's a very good remake. I wasn't sure going in because Dawn of the Dead.
Then real quick, what's the Colin Farrell, it's a horror movie remake that they just redid?
Fright Night.
Now, I've heard that's actually really good.
That's not bad. It's
not bad.
From Colin Farrell himself on a podcast.
Yeah, it's not he said it was 100% really faithful to the original.
Right.
But the characters are intriguing. Colin Farrell plays a great vampire. It has the late Anton Yelchin.
Yes, he is.
Who plays the hero. And also it has a Doctor Who's David Tennant in it as the Roddy McDowell character.
I love him.
And he is great as a jerk Chris Angel-esque magician in the movie.
Interesting. Okay, I gotta watch this.
It's worth it. I mean, it's not the greatest movie, but it's definitely worth it. But Dawn of the Dead, I think with the James Gunn script and Zack Snyder's visual flair, it was a really great combination.
Number two?
I'll go with Watchmen.
Because it's amazing!
It is. I mean,
are you one of the soundtrack haters, though?
I don't hate the soundtrack, but I feel like orchestral soundtrack would have been better than some of the pop music built in. I don't mind it. It doesn't take me out of the movie, but I don't think it really needs it. I mean, it's very Zack Snyder-esque where, you know, he throws in a slowed down version of a pop song. Mm. I also have a complaint about the overuse of the Pixies in modern cinema.
Right. That's kind of fun.
But I like the, I'm a huge fan of the original Alan Moore comic. I thought it was a great breakdown.
We could talk
of,
about that. We could do a whole podcast about
that. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I mean, it's a great breakdown of comic book heroes. My biggest complaint is probably that it doesn't take as much liberties as it should. And where it does, I feel like it's not necessary. Like, I mean, it's a three-hour-plus movie, if I recall.
Depending on which version you watch. Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like he could have done a little bit more editing, taken out some of his classic slow-mo shots.
Oh, see, I loved it in this. His ability to take, and he does it in Batman vs. Superman, a comic book page and put it in the screen is amazing.
He is great.
That opening segment with the Times They Are Changing song, I thought was amazing. It's the perfect way to tell the history of that story to get into it.
Absolutely.
I liked. What's number three?
I'll probably go 300.
Ooh.
Which was a good one.
Just another great adaptation.
I loved it.
Speaking of comic scenes, he has a million in that one.
Yeah. Well, Frank Miller sort of just painted them out perfectly for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Zack Snyder works best in areas where he's interpreting and not necessarily creating.
Creating the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Which
so
I mean,
you don't like you don't like Sucker Punch then?
Oh, I have Sucker Punch as worst movie ever. It is such a horrible movie.
I have not seen it just because I have heard so many bad things about it.
If you're a woman, it's like the most degrading thing in the world, I think.
I've seen enough of it and know enough of it to where I'm like, this is not worth
it's kind of boring.
You liked it. I thought it was so boring. I as an overall movie, it wasn't great, but as like pieces. He does good at just creating scenes.
He's a visual master.
Like there's a scene.
That's a good word.
There's a scene where one of the leads, she fights this giant samurai statue thing, and it's the way it's shot is just amazing.
Yeah,
like he can create beautiful shots.
I think he's if you wanted to compare him to any other director, he's very similar to David Fincher, where he creates beautiful shots.
Right.
However, Fincher is much better at story.
Yes.
Which Fincher doesn't really write all his stuff. He's usually using other writers who are bringing in, like, The Social Network was Aaron Sorkin. So he realizes where his strong points are, and I think people have just got caught up with Snyder and allowing him to kind of run off, which I think DC is starting to course correct with bringing in Jeff Johns.
I think after this last one with Justice League, they're like, all right, we got to bring in a little bit.
Yeah, but it's always been, like, weird.
Jeff Johns, good storyteller.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a classic comic book writer. He's written some of the greatest DC stories in the past 20 years. And part of what Marvel has done well is, you know, they have given directors who are... They made a shift similar to what DC's doing, where if you look at the early Marvel films, they use big name brand directors. Jon Favreau, which he was coming off kind of a couple duds, but definitely already had some big name success. Kenneth Branagh.
I know, right?
I mean, like a classic Shakespeare director. So they kind of had that, and they started shifting to these newer directors who had very good visual styles. If you look at some of the people they picked, like the Russo brothers, their work on Community is amazing.
The Russo brothers, their Captain America movies have been great.
Yeah, and I mean, they're great storytellers. They came up in that world of telling stories. And
guys, this isn't a Marvel podcast today. This is
I know,
DC
but
one.
You can't really not talk about the comparisons.
It's hard not to compare.
Right.
It's always Marvel
but we will agree
DC,
that
Marvel, DC.
Save Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, the Marvel world is a mile wide, an inch deep, right? Like, they're not...
Absolutely.
I have felt like all of them. I've watched them all, and I've been like, oh my... Save Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy is its own separate thing, because I think that's a great film. But all the movies, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so awesome. It was so amazing. And then every time I watch it the second time, I'm like, just dying to get to the part I wanted to see again. So I'm like, oh, because there's not much... I mean, I think Robert Downey Jr. is amazing, especially Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
That movie floored me.
I mean,
I hated Iron Man 3.
what?
With
Shane
I was
Black?
So tired of all
that was
and
my favorite of the three.
They butchered Mandarin, like this great comic book villain, and it's like
I love
but
the
they,
twist.
Ben Kingsley pretending,
but
spoiler alert.
I kind of like that because they did the Mandarin without doing the Mandarin,
right.
And like they could still come back and do it. It's not like they eliminated the character entirely.
Right.
It's your classic Shane Black Christmas movie.
Yeah, no. And he is doing the next Predator movie, which he wrote the original, and so he's
yes.
I'm sorry, are we forgetting Predator 2? Because I thought Danny Glover was awesome. But my thing is, if Danny Glover can beat a Predator, anyone can beat a Predator.
I mean, he barely beat a Predator.
He got the special gun in the end. It's treasure.
He
got a trophy.
He had the Predator, the blade. That helped him out a lot. I mean, I had very fond memories of Predator 2.
Anyways.
So what are your top three Zack Snyder
movies? Ooh, it's easy. It's Watchmen 300 and Man of Steel, because I really liked Man of Steel.
Mine would probably be Watchmen, Dawn of the Dead 300.
Yeah, I can't say Dawn of the Dead. I don't think I've seen it.
And you know what? If I had to put a fourth one there, I would probably put Batman v Superman. I came into it with very low expectations, and I was at least enjoyed the story overall. Like, I felt that it was... pleasant, it was good. It had its moments of weakness, but really wasn't that bad of a film. I mean, besides some expositional things that they were doing to taper off some of the complaints of the first film.
Oh yes.
And here's that island,
it's abandoned. Like,
so
yeah.
And we can go ahead and talk about that's our next thing is Batman vs. Superman. I just watched yesterday Man of Steel with the kids, and we at the end of it. You know, Superman does this public execution, and going straight from that into Batman vs. Superman, I feel like that is a chain that connects where you're like, oh, so this would make Bruce Wayne even hate Superman more. Because that was one of the things I didn't connect with, like, you hate him this much? I mean, I get it, but he really hated Superman.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, and then you got to get this whole, like, that whole opening sequence in Batman vs. Superman where he's sort of, like, godlike. Like, after you've seen him snap the neck, I'm like, oh, it ends with this dark note, and it starts with this dark note. The problem with the movie is that they should have just called it Man of Steel 2. I don't know why. Like, I think the Batman vs. Superman and all the bros came in, like, oh, you just find out who wins. Or, like, yeah, and they think it's a Batman movie, and it's not a Batman movie. It's a Superman movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have yet to do a Batman movie. It's just been Superman movies and Suicide Squad movies with Batman featured.
And I mean, that was originally the intent, was it was supposed to be Man of Steel 2.
Yes.
That's how
that was
written.
They originally said Man of Steel 2 was next, and then
came
like,
across communicated well for people.
Well, what was the overlap between Dark Knight Rises and Batman v Superman? It was what, 3 years? 4 years? It was fairly close from the end of the Nolan verse.
Right.
So I feel like they were worried about drop off of
which
superhero.
I have in my have a way I connect these two the Nolan trilogy and
oh,
this
you,
together.
You connect them?
I have
could.
A way to connect it.
Swear to me.
That's
well,
my best.
The Batman v Superman, you know, he's supposed to be very like weathered and he's been doing this for a while. The Nolan trilogy, it ends with him kind of hanging it up and leaving and passing it off to Robin. And as one of the first things you see in this is him going into the Batcave and he makes that pause to the Robin costume of like, you know, in between these two movies, Robin had taken over, but then, you know, the Joker took him out and now it forced him back into this. And now he's a little darker, grittier Batman than he was before.
That's fun. That's a fun fiction. But that's a scene out of Dark Knight Returns, though, right? Where Batman gazes at the Jason Todd costume. Correct?
Well, yeah, it's written out of the books.
Yeah, I mean, that's in the Batcave after the Death in the Family storyline where they killed Jason Todd. He would have his Robin costume in a glass box. Yeah. So that was always there.
I think Frank Miller illustrated it in Dark Knight Returns.
I think you're right.
Along with the giant Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in the... It's been about 3 years since I read the Dark Knight Returns last.
So that's my... Connecting the Nolan trilogy with, what would we call this, the Snyderverse?
Ooh. I love...
DC Cinematic Universe.
I love, and I always
I think they call it the DC Expanded Universe is like their official title for it.
I love Ben Affleck. I've never hated him. I've never been a Ben Affleck hater. And I love his... I think his Bruce Wayne's spot on. And I love the Frank Miller weathered Batman. Like... Mm-hmm. I was with somebody, and they were like, oh, the action wasn't even that great. I'm like, I don't know. That seems like Batman to me. It doesn't seem...
Yeah.
I think what happened is all these hipsters, they have their Christopher Nolan Batman, and there can't be another one because that's the only one they have. Just like my dad probably has his Adam West Batman, and that's, you know, Batman's supposed to have blue ears and be a detective.
We've gone through, we've gone through, you know, Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, and Christian Bale before this, so... Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Batman has definitely been the most prolific film superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Take that, Marvel.
And I agree with you. I think Ben Affleck was great. I mean, Batman's easy. Being the Dark Knight, you just got to be big. Right. I mean, if you ever...
Rubber suit.
Yeah, I mean, there was that YouTube video that came out in the early 2000s where basically they had some big brooding guy as Batman. He looked like straight out of... Frank Miller had like a cloth outfit, and he fought the Joker.
It was like directed by a Hollywood guy, like an effects guy or something like that. It was a short film. It was fantastic.
It's one of the best Batman things you'll ever see. Huh. But I mean, there's no Bruce Wayne in it, and like the guy is not a like big actor or anything. He's just a big guy, and you know the Joker's in it, and ultimately an alien is in it, and a predator.
Nice.
Yes.
But. Batman's easy. As long as you have the outfit and the effects and the choreography, it's good. But Bruce Wayne is hard to do.
Yeah.
And I thought Affleck did a great job.
Real quick, did you hate Daredevil with Batman, with Ben Affleck? Because I did not hate it.
I did not. And that's another one of those movies where the director's cut was actually a little bit better than the regular.
At the time, I didn't hate it when it came out.
I haven't watched it in quite a few
years. Yeah, I haven't revisited
it. I've revisited it. Because I still like it. I watched it with the boys the other day.
But yeah. But with the Netflix series, I can't imagine going back and watching it and enjoying it as much.
Back to Batman v Superman, you've seen the extended cut, correct?
I have.
And did you enjoy it more or less?
I would. The expectation was, again, going back to our beginning conversation, was like, oh, this one is really good. And I think my expectation was so high that I may have missed a lot of the extended parts. Because I was like, okay, it was. My second time watching it, maybe this has to do with the extended cut, I don't know, is I actually started to like Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, because I did not like it the first time I saw it.
I will agree with you on that one. The first time I saw it, I was like, he's just trying to be like the Joker or something like that. Like, the more I've watched it, he's just kind of grown. I think it's going to be the way it ended, he's going to kind of turn into something else going forward, because, you know, the way they leave him at the end of the movie.
I only have seen the extended cut. I did not get to see it in the theater.
Fancy.
And so since I was wanting to watch it, I was like, well, I might as well watch the extended cut. Because I had heard that it was a lot better, kind of filled in, not the whole story, but it made some things a little more cohesive. Not that you couldn't follow with the other one, but...
There were a few added pieces of Clark Kent kind of investigating the Batman. And
A little bit more detective
work. A little more pieces. I mean, it still has that whole ending of, hey, we got the same mom name.
Yeah.
We're cool. Let's go.
Yeah, we all know.
I almost got a fight with the guy the other day, and he's like, my mom's name's Janet. I was like, what? Never mind, man. That didn't really happen. I don't think that would ever happen.
We've all heard the Martha that running around the world.
That's right.
Yes.
I feel like if the movie would have ended with Lex Luthor as sort of the villain, pitting them against each other, they overcome their differences, they save the mom, they defeat Lex, it would have been great. I don't understand at all why we had to have Doomsday. I think we only had to have Doomsday so Wonder Woman could come in. Otherwise, there's no point in having it.
So they needed a big action scene.
And it wasn't that big. It was lame.
Well, this is my thought on it. So if we look at not Man versus Man of Steel, we go back to Superman Returns with Brandon Roth. The biggest complaint.
Are we counting that at the movie? It's funny. You liked it, though. You liked
it. I didn't think it was that bad. But I think the biggest complaint about it is that Superman does nothing in that movie.
He stops that jet and lands on the baseball field.
He does that and he hits an island. But he doesn't. There's no action.
Well, Stan, let's keep in mind that Lex Luthor's big plan in that movie is to build real estate.
I know.
Let's build some real estate in the ocean.
But to be fair,
that's the worst thing ever.
To be fair, it's a continuation of the Donner films, what was Lex Luthor doing, trying to build real estate,
or with Superman 3, destroy the world's coffee supply? Although it wasn't Lex Luthor, but
so it makes sense in the scheme of that movie, right. But. That was a big complaint, that there was no action. You know, you have Superman, he's not hitting anyone.
Right.
And so you throw Lex in there. Yeah, there's a fight between
but
Batman.
But he can't punch Lex in the face.
Yeah.
As hard as he can. And he can't fry Bruce Wayne's face off.
Yeah, I mean, there's the fight there, but ultimately I think they felt they needed a big bad.
Right.
And so
they just did it. Such a big character in such a bad way, I thought. I mean, they ended with the whole funeral for a friend, which...
Well, once again, more comic book scenes. He did a great of like,
yeah.
Here's
yeah.
a cover.
The scene
here's
of
a cover.
Yeah. Batman and Wonder Woman lowering his body to Lois. Yeah. Brilliant.
Great splash pages that he did put up on the screen.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah. The whole funeral procession, the bagpipe, all that was done really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks great, but I think they wanted to have that big moment in there, but it failed from the same complaints that I have against Suicide Squad, is that they didn't build a relationship to the villain.
You're great with the segues. We should probably segue into Suicide Squad.
Well, and now to the big moment then. For all our listeners, been waiting all this time while
the
we just
whole
ramble
time,
on.
Please, we can't wait to hear you talk more.
So this is the third movie in the DC expanded universe. Suicide Squad stars Will Smith as Deadshot, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Jared Leto as the Joker. I've seen it twice. I enjoyed it the first time, and I enjoyed it even more the second time. Like, I'd say it's a hot mess, but it's a hot mess I thoroughly enjoy.
R.I.P. Slipknot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Such a waste.
I can climb anything.
Okay, we're just going to get it.
I loved the characters. I thought I loved Jared Leto's Joker. I loved Harley Quinn. I thought they had. I liked Will Smith's character. I thought they had a lot of depth to them. And I wanted more Harley Quinn and Joker. I wanted more about the relationship. I wanted more of that. And I'm sure we'll get more. The story.
I even love the boomerang.
Sense to me.
Oh, yeah. Jack Courtney's boomerang.
Jack Courtney.
And I think that was a true boomerang to some of the comic, the way that he's been portrayed in some of the comic books. Like, sometimes he's silly and weird. Because
mm-hmm.
He fights Superboy in some. And
he's very silly.
He's like I got a wizard's cap on or something. And, But
it's like a gnome outfit.
Yeah. The story in this movie, I just...
It was
the whole
was
time
rushed.
I was like, I guess you're best friends now, and I guess this bad guy's doing something, and...
It's a two-hour third act.
Yes.
Is what I feel like it is. I mean, they have they introduce all the characters.
Which is great.
And it immediately goes into third act storyline.
Right.
With your big bad finding out about it. I've said
Which the bad guy was just the... Eh.
I mean, it's you're
bad girl.
The bad girl, yeah, is
bad brother and sister
is part of their team. So you don't feel that betrayal either. Like that should be part of it.
Yeah,
like,
at all.
I feel
they want you to love this love story with this horrible actor. Do we know his name? We should know his name.
No,
the guy who plays Rick Flag.
Yes, horrible actor, and you don't care about their love story at all. But you care more about Joker and Harley Quinn. You're like,
yeah,
I want more
because
of that love
they developed that story
a
little bit.
Like, I wanted more of Harley Quinn and Joker, and I wanted more of Deadshot and his daughter.
But it all comes to when Diablo's like, "Yo, mi familia." I'm like, no, they're not. You don't... How do you see them as family after, like, an hour of hanging out?
I mean,
a helicopter ride and a fight, and now you're family?
They rushed into that, where it's like, oh, here they are, let's go
do
stuff.
We did ride in the helicopter, and we did ride around the city.
And there was that time Will Smith shot all his guns at the... at the target. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That, for the second time in a row, we make sure the city is clear before we start fighting. We did it in Batman vs. Superman, we did Suicide Squad.
It's like their thing. It'll probably happen in Justice League, too. Make sure the city's clear.
That's another thing we haven't talked about yet. And I think this is... So I have enjoyed the DC movies. But one thing I don't understand they're doing that they're rushing, which, if you want to compare with Marvel, is... They are shoving these other movies down our throats before it's time to even enjoy them. Yeah, like,
we didn't even like dip into that with Batman vs. Superman.
With Batman vs. Superman, I think we saw like at least twice where like, oh, here's a YouTube. Like Batman has time to watch a YouTube video on Aquaman.
Yep.
And like on Flash and on Wonder Woman, and then
they're just like thrown in there. Like, oh, here's, just so you know, we have these other characters. They're going to be coming out soon.
Yeah. And the Cyborg one, you're like, ooh, that's kind of intriguing. The Flash one's pretty common.
Even in Suicide Squad, it was the same way. It's like, we'll put the Flash in this little scene right here.
Mm-hmm. Bringing the Flash out of the Phantom Zone, or out of the Speed Zone, to talk to Bruce Wayne through his dream, I was like, why are we doing this? And what does this have to do with anything? And that weird... Now, if they did a movie based on Bruce Wayne's dream in that future world where... Superman's a god and...
Take my money.
Dude, that would have been awesome. Because have you played any of the video games like Justice?
No, I haven't played Injustice or Brother
Comics. Oh man, the story in that, like, and I don't even like person-to-person fighting games. I haven't liked it since Mortal Kombat on the Sega Genesis. Like, I don't care for those games. I played that game just to get the story. I was like, I'll fight the next person just so I can hear more of the story.
I like the concept because I love the alternative world versions of the DC Universe, and the idea that they killed Lois Lane and Superman went bad is a great story.
And I feel like they're hinting on that in Batman vs. Superman. He's like, it's all about Lois!
The Flash. There was definitely...
You're like, what's about Lois? I like Amy Adams as Lois, too.
Yeah, Amy Adams is a great actress.
Yes. But sorry, back to Suicide Squad. It was another one of those, this is the one,
and it's like...
I wish it was a little better.
They get so close.
They keep promising high hopes and under-delivering.
Because that was my thought with Wonder Woman.
And all these, a lot of them, like they start off so good on this upswing, and then the ending, it's like the bottom just falls out. It's like, all right, we just got to kind of wrap this up.
And you have to wonder if it's the directors or if it's internal. Is it the studio second-guessing themselves? I mean, obviously we saw a course correction between one film.
Right.
And so you have to wonder, you know, did they decide to make changes based upon...
And I know Suicide Squad, they had some people come in late with some reshoots because of complaints from Batman.
Well, and Marvel had the same problem with Fantastic Four.
Well, it wasn't really...
Marvel.
It's not official Marvel.
That makes sense.
They just own the rights.
Not that we're talking about Marvel at all, but Fantastic Four, the cast in that
movie... One of the worst movies ever made.
But the cast in that movie is... I would say one of the better casts that you could get of young people right now. I love every single actor. Michael B. Jordan is amazing. Miles Teller is
Creed might be one of the best movies of last year.
Creed is fantastic. He was great in Varsity Blues, the TV show.
Yeah.
No, I think he's good. Miles is good. The girl from House of Cards. She's great.
They failed with that movie drastically.
I have no idea.
I feel like that is going to be...
The story was so stupid.
I feel that in 10 years' time or whenever... Josh Trank, the director, gets to truly express his side of that story.
Right.
We're going to see a studio that stepped in and messed everything up. There is a really interesting... he did a three-part interview series with Kevin Smith on his Fatman on Batman show.
Ooh.
Talking about how he got to where he was, how he got to be directing the Fantastic Four movie, and his thoughts on what it was supposed to be. And he had taken it from a direction of kind of a body horror film. Kind of similar like David Cronenberg. And I feel like that's another movie I haven't watched, but I've never listened enough about it to where it seems like they do all this good stuff up front and then rush the third act.
Right.
Is from what I've basically
heard. And he was, Josh Trank was originally going to do one of the Star Wars spinoff movies. And then,
And he did Chronicle, which is a really good movie.
I love Chronicle. There's a sequel coming out, isn't there?
Not from him. He is probably in. director purgatory for the
probably
the rest of his life.
He will probably be doing, if he does anything, it'll be like his own independent.
I've seen every episode of Entourage, so I get how it all works.
I don't think anyone's going to throw a bunch of money for a big budget.
Yeah, when you come out and publicly bash the movie you just directed, that costs millions of dollars.
I thought this was going to happen with Suicide Squad.
David Ayer,
but he didn't really come out and bash it. But he came
out at the premiere and was screaming, "Was just like F Marvel?"
Really?
Yeah, he came from a sense of his movie's great, and he's come out and said, "This is my cut." Like, there's people who wonder if there's going to be, like, an extended edition of it, and he's like, "No, this is my cut."
Because there are pieces of Suicide Squad where it does feel incomplete.
Yeah, and there's definitely where it's stuff like, that...
Is there more that should go here, or...
And we know there's something not, because you can... One of the trailers is a scene where the Joker comes back after...
He's got his
face burned from after the helicopter.
Right. Well, so, and I just don't understand how you can botch movies where there's so much good source material.
I mean, I know the ending of this one, like, I felt like the Enchantress was like they tried to recreate the ending of Ghostbusters. Like, I felt like she was with Zool. A deep voice and she was Zool. Like,
I don't even understand what was going on in that whole ending. We don't need to get into that. It just made no sense to me. Like, first they fight her and she fights back, and then in the end she has the ability just to whip the guns out of their hands. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, "I'm going to give you one chance to join me." And I'm like, what possible good for them joining? Like, they're not going to help you. You have, like, ultimate power. What's
Boomerang going to do?
I wish I had someone who could shoot a gun. Like, I don't know. We don't need to get into it. I did not love that part. But I did love the movie because the characters were so strong. I liked the movie.
Like, I want to see a Batman movie with Jared Leto's Joker, Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. I love their characters.
I love that... Almost all of them were imprisoned by Batman, which I think is a very DC thing.
Yeah,
I like that.
There was great DC-esque comic moments in
right.
it.
And that's another movie that had the comic scenes in it. Mm-hmm. If you put Alex Ross's Harley Quinn Joker image up on screen, I was like, okay. Yeah,
that was a great...
You have me in this movie right now.
Yeah. You get the Harley Quinn, the jumpsuit, and...
Yep, I like it.
It's like tuxedoed.
But I think I think the biggest thing that DC has done wrong with these films is they haven't had a comic presence. There's not been a real comic person involved with the movies versus Marvel. Kevin Feige is obviously the head of that, and he's not a comic book guy. But you know the undertones is you've had Brian Michael Bendis has been heavily involved with all the movies. You've had all these Joe Quesada is heavily involved with the TV universe. You have all these people who have grown up in the Marvel Universe, written classic storylines, who are there not to necessarily take over the film,
right,
but to help influence and guide the stories into a new direction, including Winter Soldier, Ed Brubaker. He was involved with the making of that movie, which that was his original storyline. He's even in the film as well.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
And they're not bringing in Jeff Johns, and I think... Him in control is going to add a lot of credibility. It's going to add a lot of story control and hopefully get things back into...
And I think they've taken control away from Snyder. Like, it was, like, he was kind of running the show, I think, more or less.
Yeah, he did not do
that. I agree. And I think with the Wonder Woman trailer, you can start to see that it has true humor in the trailer. Not just little funny moments. I mean...
And same with the Justice League trailer, the teaser that they dropped, same thing.
Yeah, like, it's got humor.
Focused on the humor.
And
look, we can be funny
color
too.
Color. It is not black and white and gray like the first Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. I mean, when you see Wonder Woman's shoe come on, and it's a little dirty, but you got the bright red color, and it's starting to feel more common. I mean, Marvel is not deep. It's not like there are these deep stories.
Right.
But they get the essence of the characters. They show you what you want. They're definitely playing up to the fanboys.
Yeah.
And they don't do perfect jobs, but they do a damn good job.
How did you put it when we saw Batman v Superman? You said the Marvel Universe
to
everyone.
I feel like they're marketing to my wife, who isn't going to see a super... Because they know, I think they know that I'm going to go see it no matter what. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see the next superhero film. My wife is not. But they've got her loving these Marvel films, so she'll go see every one. She'll see Guardians of the Galaxy. She'll see all of them because she loves them. And that's where they're going to market, because they're going to make money that way, because they already got my money. They
But I will say that, another one up from I am a Marvel fan person. Overall, the comics and the movies.
The comics, too?
Yeah, I'm a big Marvel comic fan.
I grew up a DC guy, so I think that's why I really enjoy these movies, because I'm like, come on, DC, you can do this.
But the one up I will give Marvel is they're the underdog. They started with B and C list characters and have made gold out of them. Versus okay. You have.
And for many, many years, it was the opposite. Like, Marvel couldn't do anything right.
Yep.
I mean, DC, you had, you know, Burton's Batman, you had Richard Donner doing the amazing Superman and all that, and Marvel had nothing. They had Roger Corman doing a Fantastic Four.
I mean, Marvel sold off the rights to all their biggest characters because they were going bankrupt, and they were left with, I mean, Iron Man is a B-list character, you know, before the Iron Man movie. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the old Iron Man comic books where he was just like kind of a big hunk of metal, like, or a stone looking almost?
That was the Mark One.
Was that the Mark One?
Yeah, that was really in the original, bad. And then he switched to the classic gold and red tin suit.
Yep,
with the static face. But yeah, he was not a big character, so I feel like they have taken what they've had and they've done a great job of
you know,
molding it into what it is today.
Too bad it's not a Marvel podcast.
I know.
So overall,
until next week,
since Suicide Squad is the meat of our, would you recommend seeing it? You seem to fairly enjoy it.
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't over highly recommend it because I think a lot of people won't like it. But
I would recommend seeing it.
I would recommend seeing it.
I would like
especially
to see
like
what
that first. Was it like 20 minutes? Like the introduction of everybody.
Which
I thought
introduction?
Was great.
The first one or the second?
The second introduction.
The second one, okay,
gotcha.
With the bullet points.
Oh, gotcha. No, I think
every character got their own song.
I'd like to hear what someone who has no interest in at all in it and just going to see it would have to say. But it's good. Should we do our home recommendations?
We should move on to our home recommendations.
So we recommend things that we can see at home: Netflix movies, Amazon movies, things you can get Redbox, whatever you can get at home.
And for me, I'm going to stick with the DC theme we're doing this week. My recommendation at home would be The Watchmen, which we discussed earlier. Justin is thoroughly in love with this movie.
I watch it. It's a yearly watch for me. I always watch Watchmen.
Also directed by Zack Snyder, who has done a few DC movies. And my recommendation, if you can get a copy of the Ultimate Cut, I highly recommend this version. If you can't, the Director's Cut. They take the Black Freighter animated and they cut it into the movie, cool. Just like the graphic novel where they're reading the comic book.
That's cool.
That makes it a nice 3.5 hour cut of the movie if you watch that.
Mine would be, as it's the last week, I did finish Stranger Days. Love the whole thing.
Stranger Things.
There was a Stranger Days.
So it was Strange Days.
Strange Days, which was a good movie. Yeah. Stranger Things. Loved it. It was good. We should talk about it later. My at-homes are the DC TV stuff that's only on Netflix because I haven't watched anything current. But Arrow, Season 1, loved it. Season 2, hated it. Season 3, loved it. The Flash, Season 1, I've only seen. I know Season 2's out.
The first season of The Flash was amazing. I haven't seen the second season.
Season 2 is great as well. That's a weekly watch for me. I have to watch it. It's on Hulu. So.
I love it. And how's their Captain Boomerang? I'm sure. I mean, all I know is from season one.
He's just an arrow. He's never shown up in The Flash.
Oh, because Ollie brings the boomerang to him. Look, yeah, that's right.
Supergirl, they've done a lot of crossover with The Flash, which I haven't seen.
Right, so I've heard that's really great, Supergirl.
Which is
I caught a rando episode,
which
though,
is moving to the CW with all the other ones next season.
And Kevin Smith is directing an episode of Supergirl and The Flash next season.
But you know what else I loved, and I didn't think I would, it took me about 2 or 3 episodes, is Gotham. I think Gotham's really good. I really love what they're doing. It's a whole different take on that's a Gotham without Batman, and I think it's cool. The Riddler, amazing. He's amazing in it.
They did. There was a comic series that was just about the Gotham PD, where Batman was in the background the entire time, but they're just having to deal with the blowout of villains in their city.
Well, the big argument with Gotham is the TV show is all the bad guys are there. But Bruce Wayne's not old enough yet. But the argument is, do these bad guys exist if Batman's not around?
Yeah.
So that's... But, you know, it's just a fun fiction. Jada Pinkett Smith is amazing.
She's an all-original character for that show.
Yeah, she's... And she's, like, Falcone's, you know, sort of underling who's risen up. Yeah. And, I mean, at first I don't like her. I actually think she's annoying. But by the end, you're like, oh, crap, she's pretty awesome.
Robin Taylor's Penguin's really good on that show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Totally. Absolutely.
So, since Brad went movies, you went TV, I'll go animated.
Ew.
And so I'm going to recommend the original Batman the Animated Series. It's all on Amazon right now, and it is...
That was a fantastic...
The original one is like the old original one with like the old style car that pulls up in the beginning.
The Fox, oh, the 1989 or 90 Fox series.
Yeah.
It's all on Amazon right now.
I feel like that even set up... I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like it set a precedent in animation, too. Like, is that first sort of boxy square style that sort of followed DC for a long time.
That's where you get the true voice of Batman, Kevin Conroy. And
Harley Quinn originated.
Exactly. Great series. Does great classic Batman villains. I mean, if you want to see the thing that's close to the comic, that's where it's at.
Yeah, led to the Mask of the Phantasm animated movie, which I think is phenomenal. Which is great.
DC's animated stuff is awesome.
Yeah. And even led into Batman Beyond, which is a great original IP that's animated, which if you can watch the Return of the Joker movie, that's really good from Batman
Beyond. Is that Mark Hamill's Joker in that?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's Mark Hamill's
Joker. And he's like, oh, that's where
they do old, the Jason
old Todd, serious so. Batman and Batman Beyond... He's funny and whimsical, and he has to be his own self. He can't. He's like, Joker doesn't know about funny Batman. He only knows serious Batman, right? I love it. I remember I saw it. It's great.
And then on Netflix right now, you can watch the animated version of The Dark Knight Returns, which is a wonderful adaptation.
It does a great job.
Yeah, if you talk about Snyder doing shot for shot of Watchmen, that's a shot for shot of
like
Frank Miller's.
Almost.
And I know they just released the animated Killing Joke, too.
Which I've heard
I've heard
really...
taken some leeway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like Red Band, the trailer, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a... Have you ever read that comic?
No, I never read it. I didn't know what the big deal was. Some people were asking about it.
I mean, it ostensibly deals with the rape and paralyzation of Barbara Gordon.
Oh.
It's one of the backgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, she's a later character because I stopped reading comics around the early 2000s, and she was there as Batgirl, I think.
She would have been an Oracle at that point in time.
Oh, she's paralyzed as Oracle, that's right.
Yeah.
So I never saw the Oracle get paralyzed, but I remember catching some Teen Titans or something like that and being like, oh, it is this paralyzed girl. I guess she's good at computers, is that her deal?
She's Barbara Gordon, so she's
not
Jim Gordon.
I'm not insensitive to her plight, the character, I just remember and be like, oh, okay.
I mean, it's a really good comic. I mean, it's Alan Moore and his... Alan Morius.
Right.
Very specific time period of the 80s where that worked just like The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. Huh.
I was excited for it, but I heard they played up a relationship with Batman and Batgirl, as in Batman and her get together.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. I mean, just like weird things like that. You know.
So I was strict Superman, strict Green Lantern. And then I only jumped into Batman usually when it overcrossed or if there was something like the Nightfall or something going on.
I was a Batman, Superman, and then just would jump into like some Green Lantern here and there.
Right. And then every now and then you get Flash. And that was the same with Marvel. Every now and then there was like Black Spider-Man suit, you jump in. Maximum Carnage, you jump
in. I'm full in Marvel right now with strictly the Star Wars universe. Like I read all the Star Wars books. Which are fantastic. Sorry but to jump into Marvel. Sorry, DC, with your...
Speaking of animation, we're about to go see Kubo and the Two Strings, which we'll talk about next week.
Yes, next week we'll do it. We could do an animated episode next time.
Ooh.
I thoroughly enjoy them. I know you're not as big of a fan.
It's not that I don't like them. I just feel like people go crazy over them. I'm like,
I'm one of those people that go crazy over them. So we will discuss that next time. And thank you for listening to the Cinema Guys.